Hi, I'm Erica. As Glenn kind of already did that introduction, I am a young adult here and a youth leader for some really awesome grade 11 girls. That's them. Yep, there they are. I've been honored to just be living on these unceded territories of the Lekwungen and Wissanic peoples for the past four and a half years now, as I've been completing my degree in social work at the University of Victoria. I also work at Sanctuary Youth Center, which is a youth center for youth living on and off the streets here in Victoria, as well as with another agency where my role specifically is working with Indigenous youth who are aging out of government care once they turn 19. So my role is really just coming alongside of them and helping them make that transition in a good way. So all that being said, that's who I'm bringing to the stage today. I've never done this before, so have grace with me. You can give me feedback after this. And I just wanted to pray before we dive into the scripture and God's word today. God, thank you for being good. Thank you for being our comfort in times that don't feel very comfortable. We thank you for every single person who's come through this door today. And we pray that it's your word that resonates in people's hearts. And as they leave, it is your word that they remember. Thank you for all that you've been teaching me through preparing this message, Lord, that you soften people's hearts to receive what you have to say to them today. In your name we pray, amen. So for those of you guys who don't know, we've been working through Psalm 23 for the past couple weeks. When I first heard that we were working through this psalm, I was so excited because weeks prior, this was the psalm that I needed. And so the fact that Scott brought it up a couple weeks later as we worked through it as a church was so exciting to me, and I've been realizing just how much I need it every single week as I've been learning more and just becoming more rooted in the psalm and who God says he is in the psalm. So just to give us context for the message today, which is on the passage, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I was wondering if we could all read it together just to, contextualize it a little bit. So Kyle, this is your, okay. So there it's on the screen. So join with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Next one. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Next one. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Next slide. All right, so this, did it end? No, it's still there. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That is the passage we are focusing on today. And throughout this series, we've been exploring a bit about what it would have meant to be a shepherd back in a Middle Eastern context and what David is drawing on when he's using these metaphors and analogies in what he's saying. And I think that we're going to look into a bit of that today, but I think it's also important to understand what it would have meant to be a sheep. And what David is thinking of when he's comparing us to sheep and God being our shepherd. And as I grew up in a city, I will be honest and say I don't really have a lot of personal experience with sheep. And so a lot of what I was looking at over the past couple weeks has been a lot of scholarly sources online, but also a lot of farmers just blogging about their animals and explaining about sheep. So that's where I've learned a lot of this. So if you want to go to the next slide, Kyle. So these were three adjectives that I picked out of all the sources that I was looking at that I think summarize the experience of being a sheep. For those of you who do not know, sheep were actually the first domesticated animal. So they have been at the mercy of their shepherd, or mercy of shepherds, for thousands and thousands of years. They absolutely require a shepherd. Left to their own means, a sheep would not survive. They'll indiscriminately eat just about anything, regardless of whether it's something that could harm or kill them. In regards to being directionless. They'll endlessly wander, seemingly without direction. So even if you put them in a pasture of green grass and quiet waters and in a situation that they should be fine just sitting in, they'll probably still just wander off. One of my favorite stories about sheep that I encountered was, it's a story in eastern Turkey where two shepherds took their lunch break and left their 1,500 sheep out in the pasture. So while they were having lunch, one sheep led 1,499 other sheep off of a cliff. Whoa, yeah, so when the shepherds come back, they find 1,500 of their sheep. A lot of them are dead, some of them have been squished, or like, they've been able to be absorbed by the sheep that's beneath them. And I think that just speaks to sheep, as they are followers, but they don't really know what they're following either, and will willingly follow one sheep off of a cliff. Finally, is defenselessness. So most animals in our world have some sort of protective mechanism, like sharp teeth or claws, or they can run fast if they're threatened, or they have a big growl. Sheep have nothing. They don't have any of that. When a sheep is threatened in any sort, any sense, they will generally run to their flock. Well, not run. They'll just not go that fast, to their flock, and then start running around in circles. And then the entire flock starts running around in these chaotic panic circles so that the predator or whatever is attacking the sheep can just pick off one by one all of the members of the flock. So all of these stories illustrate that sheep, when we're being compared to sheep in this passage and God being our shepherd, it's not exactly flattering. It's not exactly David saying, wow, we're just so good at following and we're really cute. No, it's not that. But I think it's really honest about the human condition and just our need for a shepherd as sheep. So if you want to go to the next slide, Kyle. So your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is another, what the heck is a rod and a staff? You can go to the next one. So for those of you who do not know, a rod is a relatively short, heavy, club-like device. So this was generally used, or there's other instances it's used in the Bible, and it's translated as rod or scepter or weapon. And it was a shepherd's primary offensive weapon for protecting the flock from the enemy. So sometimes on the club part of that, there was metal, so it could beat off animals that were trying to attack the sheep. It was also used as a tool for discipline. So if a sheep was running away to go nibble on a bush where it shouldn't have been, then a shepherd could throw their rod and scare the sheep back into the flock. It was also used to, when sheep were in a pasture and being brought into the pen for the nighttime, a shepherd would hold out their rod and then the sheep would come under the rod and they would individually count all of the sheep to make sure that they had all of the sheep in the pen. And it was also used as a tool for examining the sheep. And so a shepherd would take their rod and part the wool of the sheep to examine the condition of the skin, what's going on underneath the wool, whether the sheep is being well fed. So those are some of the uses of a shepherd's rod. A staff is the super classic shepherding tool that I think we generally picture when we picture shepherds. So they're about 5 feet long with a crook on one end, and their primary purpose was for caring for and directing the sheep. And so if a sheep, being a sheep, again, wandered along, fell off a ledge somewhere, couldn't get back up, a shepherd could hook their crook around the sheep and pull it back up to solid ground. It was also used for directing the sheep, and so the shepherd wasn't using the rod generally to try to direct sheep to go in a particular direction. It was the staff that they would put pressure on one of the sides of the sheep and then kind of direct the sheep where the shepherd wanted it to go. I think there's also a very beautiful picture that I learned about as I was learning about this staff is that sometimes for their favorite sheep, shepherds would just hold their staff against the side of the sheep, not to really direct them anywhere, but just to assure that sheep of their presence. So if you can hold a sheep's hand, that was ultimately, that's what a shepherd is doing when he's doing that, which is super cool. And I think as I explored all of these ways that we are being compared to sheep in this passage, but also who God is as our shepherd in this passage, there were so many things that I felt God was speaking to me through these past couple weeks. And I feel like there's so much that he wants to speak to each and every one of you. And I know as I was reflecting on it, there's so many instances in my own life where I've definitely been like the 1,499 other sheep who follow one off a cliff. There's also instances where I've felt God's gentle pressure guiding me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, but also those spaces where I've felt some things scare me back to those paths of righteousness when I decide to go off on my own. And I think that this is something that's so worth reflecting on, and that I would encourage you guys all to think about your own lives and where you have experienced God's rod and staff. And if that's something that you've never thought about or something that you don't really understand, that's even just asking God where his rod and staff have been in your life. But I think something, as I was preparing this message, that I found was so key is that this passage... I think you can go, yeah, nice. In this passage, it continues to point back to the key person that is central in the midst of this entire psalm when it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so the key person is the shepherd, because without the shepherd, the rod and the staff in this passage are honestly just two pieces of wood lying on the ground. They do nothing for a sheep. So the fact that they are being held by a shepherd is the significant part. And moreover, the fact that these tools are being wielded by a specific shepherd is also significant for sheep as well. So I don't know if any of you guys have ever watched videos of sheep on YouTube. But you should, they're kind of interesting. But sheep have this super incredible ability to recognize their voice, the voice and the face of their shepherd. So they won't just come to any person, but they will come to the voice of their shepherd. And you'll see these on YouTube if you do look it up, where like a shepherd will be calling their sheep and just flocks of sheep will come to the shepherd because they recognize their voice, which is a beautiful illustration of John 10:27, where Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. However, I think the next one, there we go. But in all of this, for a shepherd's rod and staff to be of comfort to a sheep and to us, we must first trust the one who is holding them. So I really appreciated Janet's sermon last week as she explored how our understandings of God directly shape our willingness to trust and follow him and overcome fears in our own lives and figure out where God is leading us. And I know that in seasons in my own life where I've experienced pain and heartache and hurt, where my expectations have just not been met, where my thoughts have just seemed to wage war against me, I'm journeying with other people whose lives have been touched by traumas that I will never understand. In places where I have felt abandoned by God, the very places that I have felt that he was leading me, I often find myself calling out to God and questioning the character of this God whose rod and staff are apparently supposed to bring me comfort. And this reminds me of a particular instance that I had with a youth at the drop-in center that I work with. It was a church youth group. They came and they made all these cute little cookies with little notes that said, like, God loves you, you're so special, you're awesome. And they were awesome, and they were awesome cookies as well. And the youth really appreciated them. But there was one youth in particular who came up to me and another volunteer at the end of our drop-in time with a note that said, God loves you, on it. She looked us in the eyes and said, if God loves me, why is my life so awful? And she used some other choice words in that. But I realized as I was looking into her eyes and after hearing the stories that she's been through and where she was right then, she didn't want a theology of pain. She didn't want me to rationalize her away her suffering in a way that would make her feel better, I suppose, but she wanted to know the character of a God who would let her go through what she was going through. And that's honestly a question that I often find myself asking, and I wonder if it's a question that you guys ask yourselves as well sometimes. As I look around to my current circumstances and where I'm at and question the character of this God who is holding this rod and staff. And honestly, as I was preparing this message this week, it was a question I found myself asking as I was caught up in a lot of anxieties regarding how God seemed to be failing to meet the expectations that I had set for him in my own life. And as I reflect on this, these expectations were very much grounded in what he could and I thought he would do for me rather than in who he said he would be for me. Often, I like being extroverted, but I also really need time alone, so sometimes I'll just go on solo camping trips. And often I go into these trips when I'm at the ends of myself and I realize that I have a lot of questions that I need to ask God. And last summer, I hiked the Juan de Fuca Trail, and I went in with so many questions, and I was like, God, this is your time. You're going to give me the answers to this. I'm setting apart these days for you. But as I've learned through these solo trips of mine, a lot of the times I don't actually get any answers to the questions that I bring, but I always come out with a greater assurance of who God says he is. And so as we think about this God who is holding, I think we can, next slide. Yeah, okay. As we think about this God who is holding this rod and staff, I wonder who we hold that shepherd is. What are our perceptions of that shepherd? Who do you personally think that this shepherd is? Do you trust that this shepherd is sovereign over all things, that he knows you better than you know yourself, and that his plans for us are so much better than we could ever make for ourselves because he knows us and he sees the bigger picture? Do we trust that this shepherd is a shepherd who wouldn't lead us to places just to leave us there? That he wouldn't lead us to places where he wouldn't be? Do we trust that this shepherd, his timing and plans are better than anything that we could muster up on our own? Do we trust that this shepherd knows our pain, that he's not just at this arm's length away watching objectively, but he's there with us? And that this shepherd not only sees and knows our pain, but has experienced pain himself as Jesus died on the cross to show his love for us? Do we trust that this is a shepherd who, in all things, he went to the very extremes of sharing and showing his love for us as he sent his only son to die on a cross so that he could be in relationship with us? Do we trust that shepherd? Do we trust the character of that shepherd? Do we trust him? And I think it's very easy to go through all of those questions and make little check boxes if we've been raised in church settings, if we've heard a little bit about this God and you're like, yep, that makes sense. Yeah, for sure, I know that. Yeah, I know that God is sovereign over all things. I've sung about that many times. We've sang about that a lot today, just about how God is good. But has that knowledge made that 9-inch drop to our hearts? Because that is where the comfort comes from. And sometimes in periods of our life where we look around and things are really hard, sometimes it's hard to hold that in our hearts. And I suppose that's the importance of a church in coming around people and reminding us of who this God is that we're following. And I know for me this week, this all meant me coming before God with all of my disappointments and these expectations that I felt hadn't been met, and being reminded of who he is and experiencing the comfort that comes from that, which is just so incredibly different than looking at our circumstances and constructing our understanding and view of God based on them. I think it's really poignant in this passage where it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Because for me, that speaks to the idea that being a sheep means that we're just not naturally comfortable. If a sheep needs to be comforted by something, it means that it's not living in comfort already. It's seeking comfort in something else, and that something else is its shepherd. And I wonder what that looks like for us too. To recognize that we don't serve a God who has promised comfort in this life, nor believe that we're entitled to comfort in this world, but rather believe that he has promised us something better, that he himself would be our comfort. And to embrace the freedom that that offers us, to live a life where our life compasses aren't being directed to where we will find comfort, where we will find security, but where we will find God. I remember this advice that a cousin once gave to me and my sisters when I was younger, and he said, if you ever don't want to do something, just tell people it makes you uncomfortable. And I remember hearing, and I think boundaries are important. I'm not saying don't have boundaries in your own life. But that piece of advice has been used by my sisters multiple times to get out of things that they really just didn't want to do. And they'll listen to this message and they'll be like, ah, Erica. And I think that's often an excuse that we use in our own lives. And I know it's an excuse that I use in my own life as well, where I feel God's pressure on my side to go in a particular way. But I say, no, that makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to do that. And I'm working on it. I feel like it's a continuous journey of working on it. And I also think of how often, so in my work with youth living on the streets particularly, I'll explain to people what I'm doing, and then people will come up and they'll be like, wow, that's incredible, that's awesome, like, I'm so glad that you're doing that, because I could never do that. Working with people with addictions, working with people who are experiencing homelessness, even walking past someone on the streets who is panning for change makes me uncomfortable. So I know that God isn't leading me there. And in that moment, I'm like, no, that's not the point. And I try to tell them about how many times that when I'm driving to work, when I'm driving to pick up a youth at their house, I am just praying. I'm praying that God gives me the words to say, the ears to listen, and just the steps to move in interacting with these youth, because I have no idea where they have been. I don't know what their nights have looked like, particularly at the drop-in center. We joke about it at the beginning every time when we're like, how many youth are we going to expect? And we're like, we don't know. Wow, who's going to come through our doors? We don't know. And so just that reminder of what I do isn't comfortable. And not saying that all of us need to go out and work with populations experiencing homelessness, but if that's something you want to do, talk to me later. But discomfort can be found in so many different things and in so many different ways. If you're an introvert, maybe that's just introducing yourself to the person who is sitting in the same row as you that you've been seeing every week at church and you think that they're new. Maybe that's inviting people over for dinner, people that you wouldn't necessarily normally expect or invite over. Maybe if that's you're a talkative extrovert, maybe it's just sitting in silence with people in your life and listening to what they have to say. Maybe it's expanding your social circles to include those who are unlike you and looking around at the people who are surrounding you and the voices that you hear and thinking, whose voices aren't here? Whose perspectives do I not hear as often as I should? Maybe it's being more generous than you think that you can, or maybe it's just being honest with those around you about things that you may be going through in your life, or maybe it's honestly just being honest with yourself. And I think it's just that reminder that God isn't as concerned about our comfort zones as we are. And I think there's the tendency often to define ourselves by our own comfort zones and hamper what God could be doing beyond them. Here's another animal fact for you. You'll come out with so many today. Fleas. Fleas can jump 80 times their height. So that's the similar, if we were thinking about it in human standards, of a 6-foot-tall human jumping over a building that's 480 feet tall. But if you put a flea in a jar or cover it with a Tupperware lid and just let it jump that distance, that is the distance when you remove the Tupperware jar that flea will keep jumping. And I think about that in our own lives when we put these, we construct these little comfort zones around our own lives and believe that that is as far as we can jump. When, and look past the fact that God is calling us and can be calling us to so much more. And I encourage you all, as I've said all of this, to take what I'm saying and and what God hopefully is saying to you, or what you feel like God is saying, and do something with it. There's something to definitely be like, yeah, that's true. Yeah, step outside of my comfort zone, but I can just do it. I think that's a meme somewhere for people who are young here. I'm young too. I just don't know memes. And so that's my encouragement, is step out and trust that God will be there. I wanted to end on a Francis Chan quote where he says that God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to trust him so completely that we are unafraid to put ourselves in situations where we will be in trouble if he doesn't come through. So that's my encouragement to you, to us, is to trust the shepherd who is holding this rod and staff, and trust that he is good as he guides and leads and examines us and cares for us with his rod and staff. Thank you for listening, and here comes Glenn.